Good evening. Can you hear me all right, or do I need to move this up? Good? Okay. Every place is different. I'm Lee Freese, and my wife Joanne sends her apologies. She's not been well, so she's resting this evening. As a matter of fact, when I left, she was tucked in bed and sleeping, so hopefully that'll help her to recover. It's exciting for us to be able to come here and share with you what God has been doing in Cork, Ireland, in the Republic, over these last 25 years. And not only does it indicates perhaps that we're faithful, but it also tells you that we're older. And God has been very good. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 this evening. Hebrews chapter 11. And as you're finding that, when we arrived in Cork in 1985, we'd been invited there along with some co-workers to be involved in church planning work there alongside the Cork Baptist Church, which was founded in about 1651. So slightly older than Westside. But fortunately, they're meeting in their new building, which was built in 1892. So they're excited about that. When we first arrived there, there were about 10 to 12 people in attendance. At one point in the early 70s, the pastor actually had been advised to close the church doors. But he felt that God impressed upon him, no, you stay faithful. I've got something for the Cork Baptist Church. So he remained faithful. Then the Lord took him home in the mid-70s. He never saw what was to happen in the following years. He was followed on by a young man who was an evangelist who had been there working with him in the church, going out on the doors and surrounding Cork area for 10 years and seeing very little fruit. But the church called him to be their pastor, and as he took on that, he also took on the burden that the pastor before had, which was that let's not just be evangelizing, let's be planting more churches. So he had that vision, and he invited us, along with other teammates and stuff, to work with alongside the church and help them plant more churches. So you could say it was his vision, and we were willing to help him fulfill his vision. That was 1980. That initially started with some of our co-workers who were there before us. We joined them in 85. And out of that work, starting in the late 80s, three small churches were planted. One 10 miles west of the city, one 10 miles south of the city, and one 10 miles east of the city. In the midst of that, we were privileged enough to be involved in all those in some form. But we were really living in a little town called Douglas, which was inside that ring, but it was quite a populated sub-area of Cork. And we spent the next 17 years ministering there with, I guess you'd say, little fruit. But God was faithful. And I think that's what draws us to this passage and draws me to this passage in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. I have to tell you that the book of Hebrews is my favorite New Testament book. My favorite Old Testament is the book of Ruth. And I think basically for the same reason. Both of them focus on our redemption. Both of them focus on what God has done for us in the Old Testament, how God was faithful. And then in the New Testament, here in Hebrews, how Jesus is faithful to us. And as we look at this passage, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 in the first seven verses. And it says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This is not the first time that this is spoken of in the New Testament. There's two other times where we're told, three times as it builds up to this chapter. In Romans chapter 1, we're told that the just shall live by faith. And in Galatians chapter 3, we're told that the just shall live by faith. And here in chapter 11, just as chapter 10 ends, the end of chapter 10, they're told that the just shall live by faith. And there are times when I wish we'd had a lot better explanation, a lot better definition, because as we look at this passage, as it goes right from saying you must live by faith, the just shall live by faith, it then jumps into chapter 11, and it starts telling us about people who lived by faith. I found a definition that I like, and it's this: true biblical faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. That's a nice definition. I wish it was just kind of tucked in here. But at the time when you're reading this and when it was written, they skipped over that. And basically what I'm seeing here is I read this chapter in chapter 11. What I see is that we're not given a definition of faith. What we're given is rather a description of what faith does and how it works. What does faith do and how does it work in people's lives? Well, we see in verses 1 and 2 that faith, according to our text, is always two things. It's a sense of assurance. It's a sense that you have that God is in control, that God is the one who's doing the work. It's a sense of assurance in what he's doing. It says, being sure of what we hope for. And the thing that we hope for, what? Is our salvation through Jesus, his any moment return, and our spending eternity with God in heaven. Those are the things we hope for, and that is the assurance that we have within because of our faith in God. Secondly, there's a certainty that there are realities which cannot be seen by the physical eye. Because he goes on to say that we do not see these. You cannot see them. There are things out there that we accept even though we cannot see them with our eyes. We'll touch on that a little more in just a second. But this quality of faith, this assurance of faith, is what the ancients were commended for. And the reality is they knew less than we did. They didn't have the scientific advancements. A lot of them didn't have the New Testament. At this point, they didn't have the New Testament writings. And yet they had faith in what God said and what God did. And they were commended for that. And how does that play out as we look at these verses here in Hebrews 11? Well, first of all, we see in verse 3 that it's the creative work of God. Having faith in something starts off in the creative work of God. Faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Nobody was there. Nobody saw it. Nobody heard it. Nobody made a news report. We accept it by faith that God created the world. And he said that's just how it is. He goes on to say in this portion of scripture, he says, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Now, sometimes we have problems with the conclusions that science comes to, but a lot of what science has learned supports this. Every time they think they found something, they found out that there's something more they don't know about. And no matter how powerful telescopes, microscopes, anything you look at, no matter how much they look at it, they always find out there's something more. And there are some things, I think they're called quarks. I think that's what they're called. They know they're there. They've named them. Don't know if that's their real name, but they've named them that because they know what they do even though they can't see them. There are things going on that even science recognizes that they do not know, but they recognize what's on the surface. They recognize what they see. And they have to accept that. And we're told that the ancients were commended for that, and we can be commended for that. Because we accept by faith the creative work of God. He created the world, just as we're told in Genesis. And he did it in a way that is not seen by man. And he needed nothing to create it. So there's our first example of faith. Our first description of what faith does and how it works. We have to put faith in what God says he's done for us, what he's created. The second one, as we see, is Abel. In verse 4, it says that Abel was worshiping by faith. By faith, Abel offered an offering to God. If you think about it, it's not real important what it was he offered. It was how he offered it and what his heart was like. I don't believe the offering that Cain gave was any worse than his as far as an actual offering, because we see even when the law was given, there were all kinds of offerings. There were animal sacrifices, there were grain offerings, there were bread offerings. There are all kinds of offerings made that are acceptable to God. So it wasn't just the physical thing that he was offered, but it was that which showed the intent of his heart. So we see in Abel, the working by faith, Abel offered his sacrifice in faith. He believed what God said and trusted him. Cain did not do that. Cain's attitude was not one of faith. And we see that acted out in their life when Cain takes Abel's life later. And then he tries to blame somebody else. Thirdly, we see Enoch walking by faith in verse 5. So we've seen that faith involves believing that God created everything that we see by something that we cannot see. We need to recognize that faith is in what we offer to the God, not the actual physical thing, but what's in our heart. Abel did that by faith. Thirdly is we see Enoch walking by faith. Now Enoch walked with God, we're told, how many years? 300. I'm trying to think. I was saved in 1977, so that's dating myself. So that means that was, what, about 43 years ago? Is that right? 20, 30? No, 33 years ago. So 33 years ago. I'm younger than the Lord than I thought. But I got to tell you, walking by faith for 33 years has not been easy. Had our ups and downs, had our good times and bad times. Can you imagine doing it for 300 years? I'm sure you've had the same experiences. Not everything has gone as you thought it would. But we're told that Enoch walked with God 300 years. We're not told where he walked with God. We're not told anything about the day-to-day activities, but I can guess by what I see here that it appears he walked with God perhaps by a lake, perhaps by the ocean, perhaps a walk through the woods or a field, or perhaps in his family. Is he lived his life at home, as he lived his life in his community. He walked by faith in every circumstance during those 300 years. And because of that faith walk, we're told what? That God took him home. He never died. As far as we know, he's waiting for us there. Don't know all that's going on there, but he's waiting. He didn't see death. We're told that in the account. And that happened because of his faith in God. He had such a walk of faith that God took him home without his death. And we're told, if we understand that this faith that Enoch had, which he had for 300 years, it's the only kind of faith that pleases God. Because he goes on in verse 6 and he says, without this kind of faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to believe that he is the God who he says he is. We have to believe that he's the God who created this world. We have to believe that he's the God who wants us to approach him by faith. And we have to believe that he's the God that wants us to walk with him by faith, like Enoch. Because it's the only way we can please God. Little sidelight. He goes on in the latter portion of verse 6 to say that when you do this, there's a reward. There's a blessing. Enoch was blessed to be taken home without dying. Doesn't say what each one of our blessings are going to be, but there's a blessing as we walk by faith. The fourth one that I see here, and the last one that I for this evening, is found in Noah. And we see that in verse 7, where Noah lived by faith daily. And I think a slight difference, because we know a little bit more about Noah than we know about Enoch. Enoch, all we know is he walked with God 300 years, and that's really all we know about him. But Noah, we know, did what? He built an ark. And there's some, seems to be an indication that it was probably about 120 years that he took to build it. 120 years, he hammered, sawed, pitched, cut down trees, whatever it was he had to do. For 120 years, he built a boat when it didn't rain. And they hadn't seen any flood like this in the whole world, because the world had never flooded. And yet he was faithful in building this boat day in, day out, for 120 years. I'm confident that the people around him, outside his family, were not really excited about what he was doing and thought he was a little bit maybe in the head. But we're told that by faith, he believed God. God said, you need to build a boat, and I'm going to send rain. And Noah believed God. He had to have, because we just learned in the verse before that's the only way you can please God. So Noah believed the truth that God was going to bring rain. And in doing that, he gives us an example of how faith works out in our daily life. He did it by being a good employee. His job was to build that boat, and he did it faithfully. I don't know what your job is, but whatever job you're in, God has seen fit to put you there. And are you doing it faithfully, trusting him that this is the place he has for you right now? Perhaps it was being the best dad that he could be. Perhaps God wants you to be the best mom or dad where you are by faith. Perhaps it's being a good student in school by faith, trusting that what you're taking and where you happen to be at school at this time is the place that God wants you to be, because he's doing something in your life. Perhaps you want to be a missionary or a pastor. Perhaps you are. I don't know everybody that's here this evening. The question is, are you going to be the best missionary or pastor you can be by faith, trusting God, that he's got you doing what he wants you to do, where he wants you to do it? Whatever it is that God has got you doing right now, can you by faith trust him and do the best job you can, because he's the one who's going to take you through it? He's the one who's going to care for you. He's the one that you're really serving, and you're doing it by faith, because there's no other way to please God. I have to say that I have faith in my wife. She's disappointed me today, but I still have faith in her. Not just because she's married to me and gave birth to our children, but that she continues to love me. She continues to encourage me. She continues to challenge me. She's been doing it for 40 years. To me, that's faithfulness. My faith in her, though, is based on an ongoing interaction between the two of us. My faith in my wife is based upon our relationship. It's a give-and-take relationship. I believe that our relationship with God, as we walk by faith, is the same thing. Faith is not just the way we start the walk. It's not just the way we come to accept Jesus as our Savior. It's the way we're to walk every day after that. Everything God asks us to do, everything we do for him, we do by faith. It's an integral part of every day of our life. And that's what we've been trying to help the people in Ireland, where we've been working, to understand, that they need to come to know God in a way that's unknown to them, in a personal way, in a relationship way, in a way that they can come to know Jesus for who he is, the Savior of the world, and that they can do that by faith, not by all the good things they do, not by going to church, not by paying money, not by doing good deeds for their neighbors. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they're not what God asked for. They're not what he requires if we want to please God. He wants us to come to know Jesus as our Savior. He wants us to walk with Him, and He wants us to be faithful to Him. And when we do that in faith, it pleases God. We've been trying to help the folks in Ireland that we've been working with now for 25 years in doing evangelism, doing discipleship training, and doing leadership training, discipleship and leadership training. And I have to tell you that the first 17 years were kind of slow. That's where my faith was stretched, I could say, in one aspect. Like I said, we started with the Cork Baptist Church. We lived in Douglas, this little community. Other things were happening. We were able to help. But there in Douglas, for 17 years, it appeared as if nothing was happening. We saw some people come to Christ, a few. We started meeting and having Bible studies over many years. As we saw people to come to Christ, we were averaging about one a year. So it's tough to build a momentum on one a year. But God was good, because if you add those up, after 17 years, how many have you got? 17. But at the time, it doesn't seem like a whole lot. As you know, each year it's another one, maybe not. You know, and as you know, some walk with the Lord and some don't. But God was very gracious to us. He allowed us to continue to be faithful there in Douglas and to continue to minister there. But in about 7 years ago, as we were working with the church, the Cork Baptist Church said, look, we think it's time to do something in Douglas. And we have a core group of people that you've been working with. We've got some of our people. Let's put them together and let's see if we can get a church started in Douglas. So we approached the community school, the national school there in Douglas, Douglas Community School, and we approached them about using their building. And that was a step of faith because 9 out of 10 of the national schools are run by the Roman Catholic Church. And so for us, the Cork Baptist Church, getting in there to be able to use the facility, not real positive. You know, there's a potential not to get in there. So as we approached them, they did allow us to access to the building. They said, yes, you can use the building on Sunday mornings, and they gave us from 10 to 2. That was our time that we were able to use the building. But they had one requirement, one thing that we had to do. We said, okay. We said, what is that? And they said, well, your meetings must be open to the public. The only way you can use the national school is if your meetings are open to the public. So we finally agreed to that, said, okay, we'll let our meetings be open to the public. So that's the only requirement that's put on us. God has been very good. They don't even charge us rent. God has also been very gracious to us and allowed us to give them a gift every year that we freely give to them and tell them to use how they see fit. Normally they give it to charity because they're the people that are in charge of the school are very forward-thinking, which is unusual there, but very forward-thinking. And they've had some experiences outside of Ireland, so they're more open to doing some different kind of things. So God has been good there. And so we've been meeting there, actually having a second service there, starting 7 years ago. That second service started off with about 35 people. That included the children. And about 3 years later, in 2006, in May of 2006, they said, it's time for you to form your own church and become the Douglas Baptist Church. That was the name that we chose to call ourselves. So in May of 2006, the Douglas Baptist Church was officially started. And since then, it's now 4 years old. It's in the process of, we now have 2 elders and 4 deacons. We're in the process of allowing the people to work through 3 things. First of all, do we want a building? Do we want a pastor? And then the third thing they need to work through, which really has no hinging on either one of those, is are we going to be a church planting church? Are we going to be a church like the Cork Baptist Church and plant another church? So those are 3 things they're working through now. They're in the process of working through that. All goes well, we can ask you to pray. May of this year, it'll be coming to the members of the church, I guess, to make an official decision about becoming a church planting church. Do they want to officially make that commitment? Because if they do, then there's what's called the Cork and Kerry Project, which are all the Baptist churches in that area, which have come out of the Cork Baptist Church. who have come together to do nothing but plant more churches. They're all small little churches, but each one of them wants to plant another one. And they've agreed to cooperate to see that happen, to help each other if they can in any way. So we're excited about what's happening in Douglas. We're excited that they have this opportunity to be part of another church plant. We're excited to see what God is doing. At the moment, we're generally over 90 people in attendance on a Sunday morning. What's really exciting to us, though, is the number of people, for whatever reason, because of the economic climate, because of what you see in the news, of what's happening in the largest church in Ireland and all that's going on there, we're seeing on average at least a visitor or a family visit us every Sunday. And that's really where our growth has come, through our people reaching out, touching their neighbors, touching their coworkers. It's not so much up to us anymore. Our main responsibility right now is to help develop their ability to evangelize, to share their faith, help develop the leadership of the church, hopefully so that we as a team — you'll get to see a team in just a moment, we've got a little slide presentation for you — so that the team can move on and help them do the next church plant, help them reach out and plant another church. That's all to say that this is all based on faith. Because when we went there 25 years ago, we could have loved to see great things happen then. But we had to trust God, along with all the other workers that were there with us, and all that was going on in Ireland, which was not much for a long time. And I must say that we're so thankful for all those who went before us. The man who's the pastor of the church, was the pastor of the church, that was an evangelist. He had about 10 years of evangelism where he saw, on average, one person every 2 years come to Christ. And that was for the whole county of Cork. So his work was long and hard. And we're very thankful, though, for him and others like him that were faithful in sharing the gospel. And we've been able to come along and, I suppose, pick up some of the pieces. And God has been gracious to us. And we're so thankful that we have a God who wants us to walk with him by faith. It's given us great opportunities to grow. I guess what I'd like to do is just show that, if I could, show the little presentation. And it'll kind of show you what we did last year at Douglas Baptist Church, give you a little idea of what's happening there now. Just a second, we're going to have to get my pianist up here. Thank you. I guess what I'd like to do is just take a few moments, if I could, to give you an opportunity maybe to ask some questions about the work there in Cork.